Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Crunch Time is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis. There, plenty to get to tonight. As always, every Monday, 30 minutes nonstop sports conversation running down all the latest in high school sports here in the area. And our first segment tonight is going to focus on 1,000 point scores because it seems like there's been a ton of these popping up over the last few days and weeks, and there's going to be more added to the list at different high schools as the high school basketball season rolls on. But I want to start with junior Josie Trable from East Central surpassing the 1,000 career point mark with an 18-point performance last week in a 76-36 win over Jackson Dell. Now, both of these teams highly ranked in their respective classes. Jacksonville, 1A school. East Central, a 4A school. Thought it might be a little bit closer game than what it was, even with the discrepancy in size with those two schools. But East Central wins it running away, and Josie Trable was a big part of that. I noted she's just a junior and has the 1,000 career points already, so plenty more baskets to come. But what a fantastic season Josie has had already, averaging over 16 points per game. She's near 7 rebounds. Almost 2.5 assists and almost 4 steals per game to help lead that Lady Trojans charge out there in St. Leon. Now, her scoring average is down slightly from the 17 points per game she averaged as a sophomore, which is the 6th best scoring average in program history. But as a freshman, you want to go back a little further. She set the single season school record with 467 points, and she currently stands at 1,023 points. So Josie Trable is only 82 points behind Robin T. for second all-time and a mere 162 points behind Allie McCool for the school record. I do believe that Josie Trable is going to have the school record before her junior season is over. She would need to average 11.5 points over the final 14 games of the regular season. Of course, out at East Central, they're hoping to play well beyond the regular season as they've won back-to-back sectional championships. So 14-plus games, they'll at least have one at the sectional round, and they're hoping, obviously, to go further than that, but very attainable for Josie, who, again, is averaging 16.5 points per game. So to get 11.5 over the final 14 with the talent she has seems very plausible that she will be the all-time leading scorer in East Central girls basketball history before the end of the season. And pretty neat that she'll be breaking this record when she is, because it wasn't too long ago that Luke Collinsworth became the all-time leading scorer on the boys' side at East Central. So a couple of records that stood for quite a while. Well, that's not going to be the case coming up pretty soon when Josie eventually gets this record. But not to take away from her accomplishment and being in the 1,000-point club, which is not easy to do at the high school level. You have to play varsity basketball, you know, at least probably 3 seasons to realistically think that you can get to that 1,000-point mark. But Hope Fox is on the brink of breaking a school record as well. She's only 19 three-point baskets away from breaking Brylan McCory's school record of 119. Made threes. So together, Josie Trable, Hope Fox, they are powering this East Central team. 8-1 record, number 14 in Class 3A. They are 3-0 in the EIAC, looking to win the conference for a second consecutive year. They have some really interesting games coming up this week. They're going to be playing in a huge holiday tournament at Bedford North Lawrence. Now, a couple weeks ago, myself and Chuck Thomas were out in St. Leon to call the East Central Columbus game, and we spoke a little bit about this tournament because it's going to feature 4 of the best teams in the entire state. East Central is going to play the host, Bedford North Lawrence, which they have quite a history with here in the recent memory. They've been meeting quite a bit in the regional realm. Off the top of my head, I believe it was a 1-point loss for East Central last year in the regional. So again, this is a team they're very familiar with and are going to get very familiar with again this year. But they'll play Bedford on Wednesday at 10 a.m. And win or lose, they're going to play Noblesville or Crown Point in the consolation or championship game. Now, Crown Point, 12-1 on the season, the number one team in 4A. Noblesville, 11-2, they're ranked number three. And that Bedford North Lawrence team that I talked about, they're 12-1 and ranked number five. Reminder, East Central, as I just mentioned, ranked number 14. So you got four of the best teams in the state of Indiana in Class 4A meeting in a huge holiday tournament coming up this week. It's going to be played on, Wednesday, the 22nd. So that is a good, I've used the term measuring stick the last couple of weeks on the show, and this is going to be a good opportunity to see where you're at if you're this East Central team. They're very, very talented, but this is a different type of test than they have had on their schedule thus far. So again, this is a good opportunity to go get two games against two of the best in the state. If you win this championship, that's got to be momentum galore going forward. Even if you don't, a lot of great lessons will be learned that they can apply later on down the road, getting into sectional and perhaps regional play once again. While we're on the topic of East Central girls basketball, I do want to send out another congratulations to Coach Kevin Moore and his wife on the recent birth of their daughter. Awesome stuff. Great gift to have this Christmas season, I am sure. So Coach Moore, awesome guy, and I'm sure he's going to continue to be an awesome guy and father for their new daughter. So good stuff there. Moving right along, still talking about 1,000-point scorers in the area. About Chad Cox from Franklin County, 22-point performance in a 63-37 win over Greensburg on Saturday. That helped Franklin County to improve to 2-2 in the EIAC and 4-2 overall. Got a chance to see Chad play not only this year, but in previous years as well. But I saw him play against Lawrenceburg earlier this season, and he is a great, great player. 6'4 guard, can handle the ball. He can shoot from the outside, actually can score at all three levels. Excellent defender as well, can get out in the open floor and cause some havoc, averaging over 20 points per game. Near 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and 2.5 steals over the 6 games. So a little bit of a do-it-all player. And don't look now, but this Franklin County team starting to come together a little bit. They have won 4 straight games after losing those first two against South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg. Again, that was not the greatest scheduling in the world to have to play South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg. The first two games of the season, conference games, those are not easy to play at any part of the season. But anyways, the Wildcats starting to get things together. They're really getting it done defensively this year, allowing just 41 points per game. The 4-game winning streak, they defeated Centerville by 47 points. That was a school record. They only allowed 11 points in that game. They defeated Rushville by 12, beat South Ripley by 24. That's a pretty good basketball team. And then Greensburg beating them by 26. What an effort that was on Saturday. But it appears this team really starting to get it going and understanding how their first-year head coach, Mark Foster, wants them to play. And now that Franklin County's kind of got themselves back in the mix playing really good basketball, I keep looking at sectional 29. This is going to be a sectional that we will cover later on down the road in boys basketball. You have Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, Franklin County all playing well. Connersville is the number 3 team in Class 3A. Greensburg has been highly ranked pretty much every year. And never easy to beat. So I'm counting 5 teams right now that legitimately probably think that they have a chance to go and win that sectional. Everybody's kind of looking up Connersville, who won it last year and is mighty impressive this year, 7-0, and again having that number 3 ranking next to their name. But that is going to be a fun sectional, and we'll be at the Spartan Bowl in Connersville, so we'll make the trek out there once we turn the calendar to 2022 and get towards, obviously, through the end of the regular season. But Franklin County, they're going to be in a holiday tournament this week. They're actually going to be the host on Wednesday. They'll play Seton Catholic in the first round, Hamilton Heights and Triton Central also in that particular holiday tournament. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the show rolls on. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need, orthosensi.com. Yes, we are still on the topic of 1,000-point scorers in high school basketball, and there's going to be another name soon added to the list, and that would be South Dearborn's Eli Hoffman. He broke the 900-point mark, 16 points against Harrison back on the 11th. He has since added 13 points in that 45-33 loss to Connersville on Friday. You heard that game right here on your hometown radio station. But do the math there, and Eli Hoffman now up to 929 points. So that makes him 71 away from the 1,000-point mark. And obviously, you know, he's going to get that at some point this year. And for all these young men and women that are still chasing some records, you've got to stay healthy and all that good stuff. But Eli, certainly capable of scoring 71 points the rest of the way. Could he get it playing out at the Morristown tournament? Perhaps. They're going to have three games out there. You'd have to average about 24 points per game to get it there. I would say this, as good as Eli Hoffman is scoring the basketball, it's a lot to ask for him to go score 24 points per game over three games at the Morristown tournament, especially considering some of the teams they might run into at that tournament. But South Dearborn, right after that, going to return home for the Rivertown Classic. Of course, there's going to be a guaranteed two games for South Dearborn there. They'll play Switzerland County in the first round. They're hoping to get back to the championship and win it like they did last year. But a little bit more realistic for Eli Hoffman to maybe surpass that 1,000-point mark during the Rivertown Classic. Again, doing the math, he would have to average 14.5 points per game over his next five to get that 71 points needed to get to the 1,000-point threshold. I think that is certainly possible for Eli, and it would be really cool to see him do it on his home floor at the Rivertown Classic, which already means a whole lot. We get special moments there pretty much every year, and that would just be another one to add to the list and the history of that event. So selfishly, I'm kind of hoping that that's what's going to happen. But again, rooting for Eli, and it's going to be fun no matter what when he does reach that 1,000-point mark, because it is quite an accomplishment. And speaking of which, one more athlete in the area that we want to mention that is in the 1,000-point club already, and that is Taylor's Danny Austin. And he's actually fourth all-time in Taylor history on the scoring list. And we're going to get a chance to see him tomorrow evening. And we hope you get a chance to tune in if you're not heading out to the game at Taylor. But they're going to be hosting the Lawrenceburg Tigers. And this should be a fantastic contest. But for Taylor's attack, it all starts with Danny Austin, who averages about 19 points per game this year. Fantastic scorer on all three levels. And, I mean, we're going to be talking about him a lot tomorrow, calling his name a lot, I presume. And the Tigers, they'll have their eye on him as well, trying to take him out of this game as best as they possibly can. We'll talk a little bit more about our feature game of the week here in just a few minutes. I do want to move on to our next topic here tonight, as we're about halfway through the show already. Recent player commitments. We have a lot of great student athletes here in the area, some of which are going to go on and play Division I collegiate athletics. Others will play at the D2, D3 level. It doesn't really matter. If you're going on to play at college, that is a fantastic accomplishment. We want to recognize as many of those youngsters as we possibly can when we see or hear that news. So first, I want to start with Ashton Craig. We've certainly talked a lot about him over the past year or so, as he has been recruited by a lot of big-time Division I football schools. And he is officially a Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He put pen to paper last Wednesday, signing his letter of intent. And the first day of the early signing period for the class of 2022 recruits. Now, there were some whispers around Lawrenceburg High School when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame to take the LSU job. Some wondered maybe if Ashton would open up his recruiting and maybe look elsewhere. That was not the case. A lot of times people don't really think about this. The head coach is not always the primary recruiter in these particular instances. And for Ashton Craig, he was heavily recruited by Notre Dame's offensive line coach Jeff Quinn and their current offensive coordinator and former quarterback there, Tommy Reese. So he developed the relationships with those guys that are still going to be at Notre Dame. So not having Brian Kelly there as a head coach, I don't know if that ever even crossed his mind. I haven't had a chance to talk to Ashton about it, and really it doesn't matter at this point, because he's signed on the dotted line. He's going to go play for Marcus Freeman, who is the new head coach there at Notre Dame. And if you follow the Notre Dame football program and were wondering who their next head coach was going to be when Brian Kelly got when he took the job at LSU. Well, a lot of current players and recruits were kind of petitioning for Marcus Freeman to be promoted from defensive coordinator to head coach, and he is he's sharp as a tack. I tell you what, the guy was one of the best defensive coordinators in the country, not only at Notre Dame but at UC previously, played at Ohio State. It seems like a real, real solid dude. So anyways, Ashton Craig, he's solid, going to Notre Dame. He just made IFCA Top 50 All-State Team and was named Mr. Football Offensive Line here in the state of Indiana. Initially, we've heard that Ashton's likely going to move inside at Notre Dame. We heard center. I guess guard could be on the table as well. Currently, I think he's standing about 6'5", 285 pounds. I'd imagine another 10, 15, maybe 20 pounds of muscle once he gets up into that lifting program in South Bend. But the sky's the limit for this young man. A great talent, one of the top recruited offensive tackles in the country, 26 best in the country, to be a matter of fact. And South Bend, a good place to go if you want to make a transition into the NFL as well. They've sent a lot of guys to the NFL, not only to just kind of play and be on a roster, but to be star offensive linemen. So I think Ashton is in a great position, and we wish him the best of luck moving forward as he prepares to move to South Bend sometime next year. Now, sticking on the D1 level here, just recently over the weekend, East Central soccer star Erica Wells verbally committing to Illinois State University. She made this declaration on Sunday via Twitter. Wells, just a junior in all EIAC selection this past season, 12 goals and 18 assists over the first 3 years of her high school career. That's 53 games. She has totaled 21 goals and 39 assists, so she averages about a point and a half per match. That's absolutely getting it done at any level of soccer, and she certainly still has her senior year to grow. She plays for FC Pride, club team here in the area, so she's got a lot of time to get better before she goes to Illinois State, already having a great high school career. So we want to wish Erica Wells congratulations on that verbal commitment to Illinois State University. I'm going to go play some D1 soccer. Pretty great stuff there. All right, moving on to our next young lady that recently committed to play college basketball. We have Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers star Kirsten Cross, who is going to go play at Salem University in West Virginia. Now, if you've gotten a chance to see Cross play, she's tenacious in all facets of the game. Great defender, scorer, and rebounder. She does play kind of as a power forward center for the current Lawrenceburg team, kind of based on their personnel. They don't have a lot of height this year, so she's maybe been forced into a different role for this Tigers team, but certainly has some guard skills at 5'11", and that's likely where she will play at the college level. But averaging 12.5 points this year, over 7 rebounds, 2.5 steals, a block and a half, and a little over 1 assist per game. So Kirsten Cross can do a little bit of everything, and is going to be moving on to Salem University, trading in her orange and black for black and green at the collegiate level. But awesome stuff there, and we'll get a chance to see Kirsten play coming up on the first week of January out at the Rivertown Classic. This is an event the Lawrenceburg Lady Tigers have won 5 years in a row. They're going to look to keep the streak alive behind Cross and others. Chloe Meyer, Lizzie Reeder, of course, having some nice seasons for Lawrenceburg as well. So looking forward to seeing the Lady Tigers in action the first of the year at the Rivertown Classic. Another Rivertown Classic team would be Rising Sun, but we're switching the topic to baseball, as Jonathan Jimenez has signed his letter of intent. He's going to move on and play at Earlham College up in Richmond. Now, Jonathan has been starring for Rising Sun as a shortstop, pitcher, and outfielder. His junior season hit .397, 5 doubles, 13 ribbies on the mound, 5-2, 2.97 ERA, struck out 47 batters in 40 innings pitched. So Jonathan can do a little bit of everything out there on the baseball diamond. Not exactly sure what position Earlham Alabama's looking to use him at, but one way or another, getting a fantastic baseball player and an all-ORV selection this past year, and still has his senior season to go. Baseball will obviously be played in the spring, so good luck to Jonathan, not only during his senior year, but moving forward at Earlham College. And all these young men and women I just talked about, if you want to read a little bit more about their commitments, whether they signed their letter of intent or made a verbal commitment, we do have that info for you at EagleCountryOnline.com. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in the Lawrenceburg area and throughout the tri-state. You can learn more at orthosensi.com. Want to say congratulations to the South Dearborn High School eSports team, who last week defended their IHSEN 1A state title in Rocket League, defeating Mississinewa 4-0, Logan Hickey, Hunter Garland, Damian Brightwell, Kenny Jardy, friends of the show. They've been on Crunch Time before, actually last year, when they were kind of breaking on the scene with this esports thing out at South Dearborn High School, and they broke onto the scene in tremendous fashion as they won the state championship and then just went and did it again in Rocket League. So that's pretty cool stuff there. And that team, if any one of them asked you if you want to play Rocket League, you might just say no, because you're not going to win, it appears. Logan, Hunter, Damian, Kenny, you guys are awesome. Congratulations. Cool stuff there. A quick rundown of our featured game of the week from this past week in high school basketball. We had number 3 Connersville taking on South Dearborn, and Connersville did get the win, improving to 7-0, 45-33. Connersville now 2-0 in the EIAC. South Dearborn suffering their first loss in the conference. So 3 remain unbeaten in the EIAC. Connersville joining Lawrenceburg, who's 3-0 at the top of the standings, and East Central, who's unbeaten because they haven't played any conference games yet. But still, there's plenty of time for the teams that have suffered a loss or two to kind of get themselves back in the mix. Of course, they're going to need a little help down the road, but expecting the EIAC to be a tightly contested conference moving forward. You got to throw Greensburg in the mix there. Franklin County's playing really well, even though they already have 2 losses in the conference standings. But anyways, stats that stood out in this game on Friday: 17 turnovers for South Dearborn, a little uncharacteristic. They're usually play a little bit closer to that 10 mark, maybe a little under. Connersville turned it over a little bit less with 13, but the free throw discrepancy was the big thing here, and this was really the difference in the game. 3 of 5 from the line for South Dearborn, 17 of 24 for Connersville. So I did listen to the game. I wasn't on the call on Friday. Didn't really get an indication on whether Connersville was just a little bit more aggressive going to the hoop. I'm not calling out referees on this. Sometimes when you shoot more free throws, it's just because you were a little bit more aggressive and or the defense was just a little too handsy out there. But anyways, outscoring your opponent 14 points at the free throw line, that's going to lend you a helping hand a lot of times, and more times than not, it's going to put you in the win column. But that was the difference in the game. Otherwise, the teams were pretty even. South Dearborn had 12 field goals on 41% shooting. Connersville, 13 field goals on 50% shooting. South Dearborn outshot the Spartans from the three-point line, knocking down 6 threes to only 2 for the Spartans. So again, they played them pretty even outside of the turnovers and the free throw discrepancy. So this was a good chance for South Dearborn to see where they were at just 6 games into the season. They're now 4-2. They're off to a good start, but a game you can learn from and use down the road, shall these teams meet in the sectional as they did last year. So, yeah, that's where we'll leave it with that particular game. Moving on to our featured game of the week. This week, you don't have to wait long to listen to this bad boy. We got high school basketball coming up tomorrow evening as Lawrenceburg is going to travel across the state line to take on the Taylor Yellow Jackets, and the records are looking good for both of these teams. Lawrenceburg 6-0 after a 2-0 weekend, defeating Rushville and Greenfield Central. You got Taylor coming in 5-1. Their only loss to Lloyd out of Northern Kentucky, who usually has a very, very nice team. So two of the hottest teams in the area. It's always fun when these two get together because Taylor's head coach is former Lawrenceburg Tiger Jimmy Holland. So that's a game storyline there as well. But two players that are playing really, really well right now, one for each team. I already talked about Danny Austin for Taylor and the 1,000 points that he scored in his career, averaging 19 this year. They have six others that average between 4.5 and almost 9 points per game. So they get a lot of scoring from a lot of different guys. They got some nice depth. And I think the same could be said for Lawrenceburg. They're led by Jackson Bobo, who's averaging 17 points per game, and his shooting percentages have been fantastic this year. He has really taken a big leap from his junior to senior year. But similarly, Lawrenceburg gets scoring from a lot of other guys like Garrett Yoon, Logan Rohrer, Cooper Bobo, the freshman, Daya Patel, among others. So both teams have some nice depth and can really score it and play solid defense as well. So it should be a fantastic game in Cleves tomorrow evening. Myself and Bill Smith will have the call. 7:10 pregame coverage, 7:30 tip-off approximately of that varsity contest. So before I get out of here this evening, just a few more things I wanted to hit on, which are other games in boys and girls basketball this week. South Ripley 2-3 on the road at Shaw Memorial tonight. 3-2 for Shaw, much improved team this year. But if you follow along with the John Harrell site and the predictions, still has it South Ripley winning big, 67-41. So if they do win, prove to 500. That's the only game in the area tonight. But holiday tournaments this week, we already mentioned the Franklin County tourney on Wednesday. Franklin County will take on Seton Catholic in the first round. A tough 1A team that's 7-1 on the season. They've scored 70-plus points in five straight games. But Franklin County hangs their hat on the defensive end, so something's got to give there. Got Hamilton Heights and Triton Central in the second game on Wednesday. Also have the Jefferson County tournament happening Wednesday and Thursday. The matchups are Silver Creek and Southwestern, Jay County and Scottsburg, Warren Central out of Kentucky taking on Madison, and Switzerland County will take on Indianapolis Tech. A lot of teams playing pretty well in this particular tournament, which you will be able to hear some of the games on our sister station, Wiki Country 95.3. Silver Creek's number 14 in 3A. Southwestern's off to a 5-1 start. You got Jay County coming in with former Southwestern coach Jerry Baumholt. They're 5-1, taking on a 6-1 Scottsburg team, and Indianapolis Tech 5-2, taking on 3-2 Switzerland County. So teams with 500 or better records in this tournament should be a pretty good one down in Madison. On the girls' side of things, the Edinburgh tournament Tuesday and Wednesday going to feature South Dearborn and South Ripley. South Dearborn coming off a 60-51 win over Connersville. Natalie Rupp, Kirsten Dixon, Emily Elliott all in double figures in that game. They're going to take on Hagerstown, a team that really struggles to score the ball, only 35 points per game, but they only allow 29. So they play a little slow tempo, slow it down, really kind of take you out of your offense and rhythm. But South Dearborn shown the ability to score this year despite the 2-11 record. But win or lose, they'll play South Ripley or Southwestern Shelbyville in game two. You also have Believe, Circle City, Edinburgh, Knightstown, and Indy Lutheran in that 8-team tournament. And I did mention the Bedford North Lawrence tournament with East Central. That is going to be played on Wednesday with four of the top teams in Class 4A. We will certainly have our eye on all these tournaments and games happening this week. And that is going to do it for tonight's show. We want to once again thank our friends at Ortho Sensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued support of the show. I want to thank everybody that tunes in each and every Monday night. And tell your friends if you like high school sports or sports in the area, check out the podcast over at EagleCountryOnline.com. We'll do this again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.